Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Emmett Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicol.
And today on the show, we're talking about generational wealth. And you know what, Andrew? People often say, and it's very kind to them, they say, look, this podcast, it helps them give them their why for investment. And sometimes that's retirement. Sometimes that's, you know, sorting themselves out for a passive income. And today we're going to talk about something that we haven't actually talked about on the show, which is generational wealth. Now, what do you guys mean by generational wealth? Well, we're talking about building up an asset base, building up some money, some assets that can be transitioned through generations, passed on to your kids or passed up to your parents in some cases. And, you know, if you're passing on to your kids, then passing it on to their kids as well. And one thing that I've just noticed as a bit of a trend is that more and more people are talking about this, or it's coming up in terms of what people are caring about, you know, wanting to help out their future generations, given that, you know, there is certainly a perception, if not a reality, that it's getting harder and harder for people to get their first steps in life and set themselves up. And so people want to be able to set their kids up for this. So before we get into what generational wealth means for you and I, Andrew, and what we want to do, I think just run us through, how does this idea of passing assets on or setting up a portfolio that you can pass on to your kids, how does that fit into those traditional strategies that we talk about on the show?
So the two main strategies when you're investing in property, one's retirement strategy. And the way that works is that you're building up a bunch of assets that when you get to retirement, you're going to start to cash those in and live off the returns, but also the capital over a period of time. When we at Opus factor in a retirement strategy for someone, we exclude things like the family home. So I guess in this, you've got, you know, you're probably going to leave behind the family home to your kids and any investments that you haven't spent, because you assume you're going to live to 90 and you died at 85. So there's still a bit of money left. And also, you know, of course, we always work on the conservative assumptions that you blow out your candles at your retirement and then you sell all your assets down and put the money in the bank, but you're probably not actually going to sell them all at once. So there should be more money left over than what's needed. The passive income strategy is a bit more complex. That's where you actually build up enough assets that you can live off the income of those. And normally that looks something like, you know, 8 properties over a 10-year period of time, of which you might sell 3 at retirement and pay off the debt on the other 5. And so in this instance, you're living off the income, you're not eroding the capital. So there's usually a family home and a, you know, potentially untouched investment property portfolio, which is going to be passed on to the future generation. So the generation wealth kind of goal is probably more suited to someone working on a passive income strategy.
Okay, but we've got to talk about, well, how much is generational wealth? And I don't think that it's nearly necessarily as much as you think. Because look, we don't all have to be like the Roys on Succession, where there's a $10 or a $25 billion property portfolio. You know, we're not all going to be Rupert Murdoch. But, you know, it could be...
I haven't seen that yet. Is it actually quite good, Ed?
I thought you would be right into it. I thought the way you treated me most of the time was you were trying to replicate Logan Roy on there.
It's obviously a very charming and pleasant individual that never says a bad word. Got
it. A grumpy old man who swears every second word. You should actually hit them up and ask them for your royalties on it, Andrew, because they've copied your character. Now, get on with it, Ed. Now, I think that generational wealth, you know, it could be $100K from a property that you've sold or you've drawn down in order to pay for university for your kids. In some ways, you know, that's not wealth that you're passing on, but you're helping them out in a certain way. It could be equity from your home that helps your kids to get into their own one. That's a form of generational wealth. But yeah, it could be a portfolio of income producing assets or rental properties as well. You know, a couple of fully paid off apartments that are earning really good rental income. That's kind of the ultimate version of generational wealth that you're passing on to future generations or your kids, basically, when you eventually go up to St. Peter's Gates and those kinds of things. But let me ask you this, Andrew. Is generational wealth much of a driver for the investors that, you know, you've spoken to in terms of their personal situation? And what sort of things do they want to do with it?
Yeah, I think definitely for helping kids out. I think there is an acceptance that we're probably going to live in a world where it's a lot harder for kids 20 years from now to buy a house. And yes, it's always been hard. It's always going to be hard. But I think probably in 20 years from now, it will become a lot more like other countries where there's actually a generation that will always rent. And, you know, that might just be the way it is. So definitely top of the list for a lot of investors that I work with is, hey, we want to help out our kids. Now, that doesn't mean they want to give them a house. That means that they want to be able to help them out. So that would probably be a very normal thing for an investor that I'm working with, just the next generation down.
And what I really want to do, Andrew, since we got quite good feedback off the goals episode where we shared our personal goals, what does generational wealth look like for you? What do you want to do with it? And then I'll share what I want to do with it.
Well, I guess in my perfect plan, I'm going to have two kids. I really want to leave a legacy to them. And certainly in my property empire, I want to have, you know, my income. I've talked about a passive income. I think I've said of $1 million. I want to have that generated from properties. And I want to be able to leave that to my kids. But I'm not going to leave it to my kids just outright where they don't have any conditions to that. I'm going to hold it over their head like this character from Succession sounds like he would do. No, I'm just kidding. What I would do is I'd definitely tie it up in trust. Because last thing I want is young Lucy to go and meet some slick, smiley real estate agent who then, you know, marries her and takes half of us or something like that. I'd want all of that tied up so that it was providing an income for them later on. And again, I don't want to give everything to them at once so they become spoiled little brats either. I want to be able to, you know, make sure that this is something that's going to be nurtured over a number of generations. I think a big part of that will also be helping out my family. So again, my family doesn't come from money at all. So certainly my sister and probably actually both sisters to a certain extent, one more so than the other, there's not a chance that she will own a house if I don't support her in some way. And my brother from overseas, that'd be pretty much the same. And then they're all breeding like rabbits, so there'll probably be all of my nieces and nephews there. And then, of course, I've got a couple of godchildren as well. So there's a lot of responsibility on Andrew Nichols' plate. So I want to make sure that that kind of knit of my family is all looked after. And, you know, then there might be some close friends like Ed that I want to make sure they're looked after.
Oh, mate, you've already done enough for me in this lifetime. It's okay. I mean, for me, when I go to sleep and Kelly's already snoozing because she tends to fall asleep, I'm so jealous. You know, she goes to sleep so quickly. Anyway, and I sit there and I think about the future. I really want to build up a business and I want to have a daughter and it needs to go off to her. She needs to come up through the ranks and take over the family business. Not a son. I don't want one of those. God, you know what?
You don't want a son at all? Or you don't want a son to have the...
No.
What if you have twins?
Oh, no. God, he'll listen to this, one day and be like, I wasn't wanted.
You'll be like, damn right, that's why you have to listen to podcasts to get your money, you loser.
Put it in the will. You know, but I, you know, in my mind, I'm actually not even joking, guys, but I really do think, you know, God, it'd be nice to have a daughter to pass on a family business to. That'd be quite nice.
You know you don't get to choose, don't you, Edward?
But coming back to something perhaps a little more realistic, given that I might not even have kids, is that, you know, I was thinking about this in preparation because I knew you were going to ask me this, Andrew, is I reckon it would be quite nice. My brother lives over in Australia and he's had a child, Thomas, by the way, cute kid. And my mum really wants to go over and to see him, you know, probably as much as possible, I imagine, in retirement. And going over, you know, every 6 months just might not be achievable for her. I'd expect that would be the case. I didn't ask her whether I could talk about this on the show, so here we go, but she doesn't listen, so it's okay. And I just was thinking about, you know what would be really nice? It'd be nice if, you know, maybe she could afford to go once every 3 years or something along those lines without any help. And I just thought, you know, it'd be quite nice to get that up to once every 6 months, once every 12 months, so that she'd be able to go see her grandkid over there as often as, you know, he probably wants to see her. Dare I say it? No, don't say that. You know.
Leave that in, David. That shows the kind of person he is.
You know, but once every 12 months, once every 6 months, it'd be nice to pay for that and be able to do that and have property pay for it would be quite nice. And the other thing that's quite interesting is that there is, you know, a couple of different charities I'm involved with. And I know in one of them, there is a high net worth individual who, you know, will donate what I think are significant amounts of money to, you know, some of these charities, and I won't name who this person is because they're very private, nor will I talk about which charity, you know, because he's quite private. But one thing that I've witnessed that he will do is if there is a need in the organisation, he'll say, well, occasionally, he might say, well, what if I donate 10 grand for that? And I just think, gosh,
Wouldn't that be nice? Now, this person, very, very wealthy, but wouldn't it be nice to have the ability to do that and just say, you know, it's not going to impact my financial situation so much, you know, that you can just say that. Well, what if I donate 10K to make that happen? I mean, how wonderful. I mean, he's the nicest guy. He's not throwing his weight around at all. He's so nice. But I just think, God, wouldn't it be nice if I didn't have kids and didn't pass the business empire on to little Harriet or whoever? That's a lie. I want to call her Addison, by the way. And, you know, wouldn't that be nice?
Everyone named their first child Addison, so it completely gets used just for my entertainment.
You know, but wouldn't that be nice to be in the position where, look, you've built your wealth over time and able to help other people out in that way and not have it play on your mind about whether you could afford to donate that however X amount of money to that charity. I think that'd be quite cool if you could get to that.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. So I think the Cats Protection League, I'd like to leave most of my wealth to now that you've reminded me of charities.
I'm the only charity case you need, buddy. But
No, you're not.
But I tell you what, as I was talking to Kelly about this topic as we were driving along, I think one thing that is a bit of an issue with generational wealth in New Zealand is that I do think a lot of people want to build up wealth to pass on for their family, but then they despise when they see other people actually using it. And what I think we've got to do is I think we need to be happy when we see other people using generational wealth, as long as they're not stuck up about it and throwing it in your face. And let me just give you a really crass example, So if I see a 17-year-old kid pull out of Diocesan School for Girls in Auckland, which is a posh private school, by the way, if they're pulling out in a Jag in Newmarket, I don't think, look at this rich kid. I think, you know what? Good on her parents for getting into the financial situation where they're able to afford that. Or like, say somebody going to private school, like good on somebody for earning the money so that they're able to spend that in that way. And I do think that what's important is if we want to help out our kids, we've also got to recognize that other people want to help out their kids. And hey, isn't it a good thing if somebody's built up enough money that they're able to help their kids out in any which way, you know, that they choose to see fit? And I do think that we've got to not necessarily encourage people to buy their kids all a whole heap of toys. That's not what I'm suggesting. But I think that we've got to celebrate, or at least be okay with other people using their family's wealth in order to be able to put their kids in a better position, because that's what we all want to do at the end of the day. Do you know what I mean? Rather than talking it down or saying that's a bad thing, that parents are helping their kids out, even if it's in a way that we are potentially not able to afford to do for our own children.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And, you know, I'm just thinking about some of my friends that have come from large amounts of money. And some of those guys are salt of the earth people that would, you know, give you the shirt off their back. Some other people that come from money are just crap. And so I think is the technical term. And I guess that comes down to what you're teaching your kids about the value of money. And it is very easy for the two of us with no kids, just our imaginary ones, to start talking about. But, you know, just in terms of what you're learning at home, you know, some of the stuff that I read by Hannah McQueen, for example, she talks about, you know, giving your kids pocket money, but they have to earn it. Like, they don't just get pocket money to spend it. Ironically enough, we, despite having no money, we just got pocket money for nothing. Didn't have to do any chores. Fortunately for me, it wasn't enough that I was going to be satisfied, so I had to go out and get as many jobs as I possibly could as well. But, you know, you want your kids to have every opportunity in life. That doesn't come from money, but it could come from a really good education, which often costs a bit of money and you know, perhaps not have the worries of money when they go to university and stuff like that. So if you don't want to leave a massive legacy behind, that's absolutely fine. But, you know, you might want to leave enough that your grandchildren don't have to worry about university and private school fees.
Fantastic. Let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe to the Property Academy podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, if you want to learn more about property with Andrew and I, why not come along to our upcoming webinar? It is on tomorrow night. Yes, Tuesday the 16th of November at 7 p.m. We're going to be talking about debt to income ratios. We're going to be talking about servicing calculations and what are some things that I can do to build a property portfolio even if debt to income ratios come in. How do I come along to that? Tap or swipe over the cover out. I'll drop a link in there where you can register, or just go to opuspartners.co.nz. I look forward to seeing you there. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicol.
And we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.